Alt enter ain't gonna work, so we're just gonna do that. Alright, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm sorry we took a little break, but it is the Grim Articles show. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
He was under the weather, we weren't sure what was going on, and things are good now, so... Well, a lot happened. So basically, there was this big thing called Project 2025. Obviously, it got the ire of me because it leans on the hardcore right side of things. And it drew some issues. So we will talk a little bit about that. So XBiz is kind of worried. And why is XBiz worried? Because they were going to ban porn.
What?
Yes. So MSNBC commentator Chris Hayes lambasted Project 2025's proposed pornography ban. Not only were they going to ban it, they were going to criminalize anyone that owns it or distributes it in the United States.
Porn, just any...
Any porn.
Not just X.
Any single porn you can think of. Cartoon, the stuff we do,
now,
everything.
I will say... There is such a thing as too much porn.
There is, but that doesn't mean it needs to be banned
but
and people need to be arrested for owning it.
That's not for people to say what is or isn't. I mean, that's why we have the freedom of speech.
Right.
The freedom to do certain things that we want to do in the privacy of our own home as long as it's legal and in the guidelines.
Okay, so basically he said, alongside other controversial proposals on the conservative initiative's unhinged wish list, the liberal-leaning pundit listed some of the most extreme items on the agenda of Project 2025, which is spearheaded by the Heritage Foundation. Although many of Project 2025 leaders are former Trump staffers, and some have stated that they are preparing to staff a potential Donald Trump White House in January 2025, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee attempted to distance himself from the initiative only last week, so Trump wants nothing to do with it. He's got something called Agenda 47, which I have read about, and I am 110% in support of. I've read everything
what
he wants
it?
To do with Agenda 47. One thing he's going to do, and I want y'all to know this, he's going to go hardcore on the cartel. He's going to consider the entire cartel terrorists just take them out. They need to.
Why would they not be?
Why would they not be? Exactly. They've been bringing fentanyl, they've been killing a lot of people, and they're making all kinds of money.
I mean, I honestly think if you come over here illegally, you're already committing a crime.
Absolutely.
And if you kill one of our citizens, automatic death
penalty.
Yeah,
because sometimes it's like Donald Trump said when he ran at the first time, you know, he said they're bringing guns, they're bringing drugs, they're definitely bringing this stuff over.
And they're
criminals.
Like 12, 13-year-old girls, mainly.
Yeah. And
sex trafficking.
Yeah.
That's
been going on. Remember Rambo, that Last Blood, was it?
Yeah.
That's what that was about.
That was mainly about, yeah. Well, everyone knows it's going on, but...
And Trump says it's time
Sound
to stop.
Sound of Freedom. There you that movie, too.
Yeah. But it also said that... as XBiz reported, Trump recently posted on his social media platform, True Social, "I know nothing about Project 25. I have no idea who's behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them." Last month, the Free Speech Coalition warned the adult industry and sex workers about Project 2025, calling it an aggressive and dangerous right-wing policy proposal that could have severe implications for our industry and community. Keep in mind, I did say cartoon, I did say anime, I did say hentai. By the way, this also will stretch, as I have gotten, like, over 1,000 people have seen my post on X. But I have said, it does not stop here. If they ban porn, they ban anything that is remotely associated with porn. They can use this to ban your anime characters.
Hmm.
They, anything that they see so much...
Think about it this way, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line between porn and art sometimes.
Yes.
There's erotica.
But
there's...
you have to understand... Wait till I show you the conversation. Because there was a leaked conversation behind the president of this... And, I'll read the whole thing. I want you to see how he thinks.
Granted, because if you posing in art and posing in porn this are man, two separate things.
This man is a wingnut. He has no idea. Yeah. He doesn't care about art. He would want to ban all anime and consider it pedophilia. Yeah. All of it. Every single bit.
Yeah, I think
that's the kind of person this guy is. And wait till I read it. Because I'm going to read it on here. But it basically said the liberal-leaning pundit leaded some of the most extreme items on the agenda for the 24. All right. Hold on. Let's do that again. All right. Hayes' inclusion of the proposed porn ban is noteworthy because many of the liberal and democratic politicians and commentators criticizing Project 2025 have notably admitted it from their own list of objectionable proposals. After listing Project 2025's proposed crackdown on LGBTQ rights and visibility, access to sexual health, supposedly woke activism and abortion rights, Hayes added, and get this, I don't know if people know this, but people should. Pornography should be outlawed. The people who produce it and distribute it should be imprisoned. Hayes then stared at the camera and blinked in disbelief, adding, America 2024. Hayes described Project 2025 as a wish list of a bunch of fringe far-right policy proposals that I think many voters would be really horrified to learn about. Sex workers, members of the adult industry, and ex-biz have been warning about Project 2025's sweeping censorship proposals since August of last year, when Dame Magazine's Brian Tannehill first reported on Project 2025's mandate for leadership blueprint. The Washington Post published an article in November stating that much of the planning for a second Trump term has been unofficially outsourced to a partnership of right-wing think tanks in Washington dubbed Project 2025. The group is developing a plan to include draft executive orders that would deploy the military domestically under the Insurrection Act, according to a person involved in those conversations and international communications reviewed by the paper. It's a pretty hardcore fucking thing. Yeah. So, all right.
Well.
So now we're going to read the conversation. So if you didn't know it, a bunch of gay furry hackers... Actually, and this is the only thing I will ever respect and side with furries for, other than maybe the creation of Sonic and some fan games. But let's see. Gay furry hackers have breached the Project Heritage Foundation.
Oh, Lord, that's the headline photo.
Siege Sec, a group of self-proclaimed gay furry hackers breached the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank known for their Project 2025 blueprint. Siege Sec made headlines last year by hacking into systems owned by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. The hacking group teased the leak yesterday, leading to a swift suspension of their Twitter account, according to Daily Dot. The leak contains email addresses and IP addresses belonging to users who commented on Daily Signal articles. Daily Signal is the media arm of the Heritage Foundation. Earlier today, a chat between Siege Sec member Vio and Mike Howell, this is the guy in charge of it, from the Heritage Foundation, was leaked, and Hal himself confirmed the authenticity of the log. You can read the whole chat log here. And that is right here. Okay. Mike Howell. This is Mike Howell, the Heritage Foundation's oversight project. I'd like to chat. Would you be willing to have a call or some other means of communication? Vio, unfortunately I'm not able to call. I can only stick to text communication. If you add another platform you prefer, I'm open to adapting how I can. The platform is fine. What is it you are seeking or threatening? We want to make a message and shine light on who exactly supports the Heritage Foundation. We don't want anything more than that, not money and not fame. We're strongly against Project 2025 and everything the Heritage Foundation stands for. That's why you hacked us? Just for that? Yes, it should be obvious that all we want based on our history is a hacktivist group. We don't seek money. Okay, listen to me clearly. We are in the process of identifying and outing members of your group. Reputations and lives will be destroyed. Closeted furries will be presented for the world to the world for the degenerate perverts they are. You cannot hide. Your means are minuscule compared to mine. You can either turn yourself in or you can cooperate. Vio, none of our members will be identified or outed by your organization built on hatred. The only ones deserving of a destroyed life are those within your organization. You want me to cooperate with what? Spreading misinformation and hatred? We won't turn against our own people. Your own people turned against nature. We will only accelerate the cycle. Nature has no defined set of rules, no authority, just like it should be. Humans can do what they want, yet you choose to support an organization to harm innocent people. Why? How can you justify this to yourself, knowing you're threatening the rights and lives of other human beings? That people you hate could be anyone. Your friend, your mom, and your sibling. God created nature, and nature's laws are vicious. It is why you have to put a perverted animal costume to satisfy your sexual deviances. It is why you were forced to hide like a coward. You violated our rights and broke the law. You have no standing to discuss such matters. The rights your org violates will be 10% worse than any crime I've committed. You do not follow God if you use a religion as a crutch to hate people. While I hide behind a screen to fight for my rights, you hide behind religion to attack the rights of others. Would you like to meet virtually or send an emissary to meet in person? I would like to be left alone without my rights being threatened. Are you aware you won't be able to wear a furry tiger costume when you're getting pounded in the ass in the federal prison I put you in next year? Such unprofessional language from an executive director. Would you mind if I shared this? Please share widely. I hope the word spreads as fast as STDs do in your degenerate furry community. Meow. Image of a cat. Bestiality is a weird sin. It shows you've gone a few clicks too far in trying to satiate your deviant appetite. What's your opinion on Vore? My advice is that you get out of mommy's basement, iron your shirt, buy a girl a drink, and ask her out instead of Googling new deviances for you to fixate on. Be right back. I'm writing a post about you. Would you like me to immediate post your docs publicly or tease it for a little while first? Whatever you prefer. I'm tied up with the FBI issuing a 2702 order on your social media. You aren't that sneaky for your line of work. Screenshot of our Bitcoin wallet's transactions. Oh my god, you learned how to look up the public history of my Bitcoin address. Good job, pal. I'm so proud of you. So that was it. So, this is what the guy thinks about furries. Imagine what he thinks about anime people. People that like waifus. Waifu characters. These child cartoon characters. Look, I can put words in his mouth because I already know how he thinks about that. You can already say, like, even look at a busty girl, like a busty waifu from the modern anime. That's a child! And that's the same guy that will use his biased opinions to censor people, right? And let's also talk about some things that the Heritage Foundation stands for. They said they stand for, hold on, let me go back into my, I've actually written it down because I made a thing about it. Just give me a second, guys, I'll find it. Sometimes I make points and forget about them, but, all right, give me a second, guys. So, basically, let's see, it says... Alright, just a second. I think I might have to go. Alright, here we go. It says that since our founding in 1973, the Heritage Foundation has been working to advance the principles of free enterprise. Free enterprise. What is free enterprise? The ability to create a business based on anything. The freedom to create a business based on anything. So by banning pornography, they're not only banning the freedom to create a business, but they're also banning Jast USA, which is based here in America.
Yeah.
They're banning,
They're wanting to.
Anyway. Well, yeah. But like I said, they're banning Jast USA. They're banning, let me go back. Let me see if I can, backspace or something. Yeah, maybe not. Oh, let's try that again. Well, hold on. There we go. Yeah. Anyway, like I was saying, they are basically trying to... Alright, we don't want that. Yeah, we can go into that later. I know. It's almost my birthday.
Is it?
Yes, it will be tomorrow. Yes.
My Facebook birthdays.
I'm almost 40. Shit. I'm almost 40.
I'm young but, at heart, though.
All right, guys. Anyway, the Heritage Foundation has been working to advance the principles of free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom. People that support individual freedom do not ban porn. you can use their whole fucking statement against them. The freedom for an individual to watch whatever they want in their area.
Within reason.
Within reason.
Within the
within
legal
reason and within the legal thing of the law. That has been decided by the government and the people that vote. The voters are the ones that would get the chance to vote on this issue, not the politicians.
Now, granted, I do think some porn should be banned, such as...
all that stuff is really bad.
Well, kind of leaked with the porn and all that.
Yeah.
With the kids.
Yes. But that's illegal.
Well,
that's illegal. That's banned. That's literally banned. Anybody that's looking at that is looking at that illegally. They don't have the rights to look at that. They're doing a very heinous criminal act if you're looking at illegal pornography. There's plenty of legal pornography. Why look at illegal pornography? I don't know. You got to be fucked in the head if you want to look at that stuff anyway.
I've never been big on George Carlin's atheism.
Right.
But he always does have some good quips about different things. His thing about selling's legal, fucking's legal. Why is selling fucking not legal?
Exactly. And not only that, keep in mind, they're telling him, they're saying, hey, he's calling himself Eagle Douglas now, but Jast USA founder, I don't care, Jast USA founder calling himself Eagle Douglas now, basically he made a scathing panel at the Anime Expo talking about how hard it was to get erotic visual novels on Steam. And talking about, other stuff they really worked hard on.
Yeah.
And why they made themselves a business. Why they created the store, Jast USA. So, to go in there and have this guy, this Mike, whatever his name is, go in there and say, hey, you can't run this business anymore. Even though you totally... And, the funny thing is... This guy will say, you totally support free enterprise. It says it right when I click on your website. Yet you're telling me I can't operate my business anymore because you don't approve of it by your own body.
What power and authority
right.
does this guy actually have?
Well, let's look it up. First of all, the Heritage Foundation has... the Heritage Foundation, let's look them up because we do need to look them up. So the Heritage Foundation. Biden pushes back. So let's look at them.
Now I'll tell you this. It seems like they're always on PBS.
Yeah.
Well, PBS is a very left-leaning channel.
Well, you've got Director 2025 Presidential Transition Project. Kevin D. Roberts, the PhD, the president. So that's not the one that they were talking to. Mike Gonzalez, Foreign Policy, Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Mark Morgan, Visiting Fellow, Board of Security and Immigration. Director of Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom and Bernard, these are very famous people. Director of Border Security. Manager, Election Law Reform Initiative. Yeah, these are, powerful people. Joe Griffith, Financial Regulations. Institute for Economic Policy Studies. I don't even see this other guy. I don't see the Mike
what?
Guy.
What? Kate McKinnon, go back.
And I don't see Mike.
Right there, second one. Does
that's
that
not
look,
him. That's not the
no,
same
I
guy.
No, I said that looks like Kate McKinnon from the old...
Where?
There, second one.
It does!
There you go.
Lindsay Burke.
Her most evil role yet.
Holy crap, it looks just like her. Almost.
I infiltrated the Heritage Foundation so I could ban anime.
Man, that would be a great Saturday Night Live
and
bit.
And push lesbianism to a new level.
Yeah. That would be great. That
it's only missionary-style scissoring from here on out.
Yeah. Okay, well, so as I said, first and foremost, this is the only thing that furries have done that I actually support. Oh, and I have to set the record straight. A furry was the one that I was talking about in my video for the Mega Man game. That furry caused more hell than I've ever seen in any fan game in the history. Like, I've been playing these since I was 16. I'm almost 40. It's been a long time. This one furry caused people to have the worst mental problems over a fucking game you can possibly imagine. So when I was in that video talking about how great he was, it's because I did not have the information. And by the way, there's a full fucking list. A full fucking list of everything that happened with this game. And everybody that had played a part in it talked about how horrible this person was. And this person was a proof that furries ruined almost damn near everything. This is one thing they didn't fuck up.
They ruined the game or something?
Almost. Basically, they had to go in there and painstakingly remove everything this furry put in the game. And it would have never came out. And by the way, this was a girl's project. This was a woman's project. And the woman finally had to say, just give me the rights back to my fucking game. I just want everything back to my fucking game. Because the person, the furry wanted to take it over and make it their game. And that's not cool. Because she's the programmer. She's done all the work for this game. Well, building and everything.
I always say, if your whole identity is fucking in a weird way, then you don't have a real identity.
Right. Now, to be absolutely fair,
that's why I'm saying people don't hate gays. To each their own. They hate having to hear about their daily lives and all their love interests and all their butt.
Whoa, okay. But hold on. To be fair to the furries, not every single, even though there are definitely adult areas in the furry community, not every single reason a person does the furry thing is because of a sexual fetish. Some people actually
people
like the costume thing. And that's fine. Like, and that's why when the guy was like, all you people are degenerate.
I don't know that I'd call that furry then.
Yeah, well, all you people are degenerate. Like, yeah, okay. So, sure. Yeah, there's definitely some degenerate fucking furries out
there. There's degenerates in the church.
Yeah.
Degenerates. Everywhere.
And we don't even know what this guy got away with. Like, we don't know what this guy does on his day-to-day basis. He's over there saying, you need to get out of your mom's basement, iron your shirt, and buy a girl a drink. It's like, you don't even...
It sounds like it might be a pose. It might not even be anyone
from the Heritage Foundation?
That.
It's a very good possibility. But I will say that the information is being... Like, let me look it up and see.
I mean, you obviously didn't see his name.
The Intercept. Newsweek has reported on it. Computing has reported on it. Pink News, National Review.
Not a clue.
MSNBC.
Well, that's not a reliable source.
Gay Furry Hackers, The Register. Advocate.
Well, shit, if the gay furry hackers
I know,
about
but
it.
That's what they're saying. The New Republic, Cyberscoop, The Verge, Rolling Stone.
What, The Virgin?
Cyber
well,
Daily.
Virgin's talking about it.
Star Observer, them, Hacker News, Salon, RT International. RT is talking about it. That's a pretty good, like, RT, if RT's talking about it, that's pretty good. That's a decent one.
Does any of them have a photo of this Mike Howell?
Yeah! We can look him up. Because I don't see him in the Heritage Foundation, did you?
I mean, there might be other smaller members.
He is the executive director of the Heritage Oversight Project. There's a funny picture of him right there. That's...
Boy, that looks like he's born to suck a dick.
Look at this guy.
Oh. Well, his mother was a blow-up doll, and she was brutally raped by a teenager. It's obvious.
Mike
Howell,
director of the Heritage Foundation. Look at this guy. This is the dude? Like, let me see.
see?
Like, that's...
obviously why he's mad.
That's literally the guy!
Look, and all the... look, there's several photos with nothing but his mouth wide open. He is open for business.
Look at him again! Trump indictment legal and political rim. And of course, Trump's indictment is a complete abuse of the system. But yeah, this guy is... like, this is the guy!
I'll tell you, there's probably more skeletons in his closet than...
oh my god! I'll bet he's got hookers and every damn thing else going on.
Dead hookers?
Maybe! I don't even know!
With a face like that, they couldn't be alive.
But yeah, hey, to be fair though,
you know,
we're
too
not
much.
To be fair though, we're not against, like, I'm not right or left wing, you lean more right. But I don't like extreme on either fucking side. Like, if the left is gonna be we're extreme, then I don't fucking wanna deal with their extreme bullshit. And if the right's gonna be like, well, we're gonna be extreme, well, I don't wanna deal with their bullshit. It's about having a fair policies. Like, there's a limit. There's right-wing things that are good, and there's some left-wing things that are good.
A lot of policies are not going to have every single thing appeal to
everyone. Right.
Everyone. Yeah.
And, you know, the thing I think about porn is, if porn upsets you so much, don't look at it, don't watch it.
I bet
and
something
you,
about it to ruin his or someone's life. Probably his.
Maybe his.
Yeah, look at that fucking O-face. I mean, he's black as
maybe sad. His. And again, I mean, he's the executive director of this whole thing. Yeah.
He's like, everyone keeps drawing dicks in my pictures, in my mouth.
It's just...
gotta get rid of porn.
Yeah, it's...
next is corn. I'm getting rid of things that have orn
in
them.
Yeah. Well, then there's Bourne. He's like, get rid of all the babies!
Next, the Lando Lakes box, because you can make tits on that old Native American lady. Her knees are breasticles.
Pictured. That guy that is talking about banning porn. I guarantee that dude has probably seen more fucking porn than...
no cantaloupes in the supermarket. They look like tits.
Right. Anyway, going back to other news.
No apple pie, because after that movie, I really wanted to fuck a pie.
We got a teenage hiker that hurled 400 feet to her death by a bear.
Not a very good hiker.
As it's revealed, she made frantic call to cops begging to know what to do while being chased before she was dragged away by rabid animal in front of her boyfriend. The bear chose her, folks.
Not a very good... well, I bet she tasted better.
The teenage hiker, who is believed to have been killed by a rabid bear after it dragged her and threw her down a 400-foot cliff in Romania, was on the phone to emergency services desperately asking for help when she was attacked, it has emerged.
Obviously,
the 19-year-old...
the bear smelled salmon somewhere down below.
Known locally as Maria Diana, was hiking in the Buzăgi Mountains in central Romania near the city of Brasov on Tuesday when she was savaged by the bear in front of her horrified partner. According to the victim's boyfriend, the bear first grabbed the teen's leg and hauled her off the path before throwing her 400 foot down off a cliff. Damn! Local officials revealed terrified Maria managed to call the emergency services as she was being chased. Dan Banu, head of the local mountain rescue service, told local media she was terrified. You can tell she was screaming. The bear is getting closer
really?
And closer.
You can tell all that?
It was all happening live. The emergency dispatcher was on the phone and the partner was shouting that they were being attacked by the bear and that he had taken the girl. It was terrible.
I'm not sure if she was laughing
that's
or
her.
Screaming hysterically. Yeah, she is.
The 19-year-old, named locally as Maria Diana, was hiking in the Buzăgi Mountains in central Romania.
Or was good-looking.
The bear first grabbed the teen's leg and hauled her off the path before throwing her 400 foot down a cliff.
Vagina?
A what? Bear in
go
the mountains
one.
Of Romania.
Go up. Right there. Oh, vaguana. Close enough. It's a vagina.
Oh, yeah.
A vampire bear was worst of all.
He told
they
us.
They had to put a stake through her heart to make sure she didn't survive the next moon.
he told us that the bear grabbed the girl by the leg, and at one point he didn't see what he did to her. When rescuers arrived on the scene, they found the snarling beast circling the body. The aggressive predator tried to attack them and was then shot dead. The victim's boyfriend, whose identity has not been revealed,
because he was a bitch,
witnessed the horrific attack but was unharmed.
I'm not gonna save your girlfriend.
I tried to scare the bear, but the misfortune happened. I'd rather it had been me. He managed to save himself and was found in a state of shock when the rescuers arrived.
But apparently I didn't smell like honey that
The girl
day.
Was hiking with her boyfriend.
Boy, she doesn't look like she wears a lot of hiking attire.
Right.
Looks like she turns into a bat and flies off into the night.
Yeah.
Oh, is that her? She's a little older than I thought.
No, that's another. So
see, that's
see.
A friendly bear. It was docile afterwards.
Got a lot of shit being talked about. Amber Heard's private investigator reveals why he switched sides and joined Team Johnny Depp. Okay.
Because she shit all yeah. over his equipment.
It was a joke! Alan Baldwin breaks down in tears as his rush shooting case is sensationally dismissed. Wow.
Well, so murder is legal in California.
Tension. Justin Bieber and pregnant Haley, Bella Hadid. There should be some I think there was something in here.
Or is it clickbait?
No, there's something interesting here.
Transdiplotica.
Katy Perry has a vibrator in her tool belt as a bold declaration of women's sexual liberation for her Women's World music video.
Who has Katy Perry?
All right. Katy Perry shared the music video for her new single, Woman's World, on Thursday. In one scene, she has a tool belt as she works with a team of hot women. Notice there aren't any body positivity shit that they were pushing in the video. These are all...
Where's the fat bitches at?
Right. There were many tools there, like a wrench and a hammer, as the star showed off her very toned body. But Daily Mail had learned that there was something else in her belt, a pink vibrator. She had the womanizer stimulator to make a bold declaration of women's self-empowerment and sexual liberation, according to the womanizer press department. Perry included the vibrator to embrace everything that celebrates the power of women, it was added.
Maybe we guys should do a music video with just pocketbooks just hanging around her belt like scalps in the Native American
bunch of love dolls or something.
Oh, we scalped a mini a vagine.
Womanizer is the leading brand of women's sex toys, encouraging women around the world to explore their sexuality and liberate their self-pleasure, said a press release.
It means Womanizers, don't fuck guys, get plastic.
Womanizer's ongoing mission is to crush the social stigma that often surrounds the subject of women's masturbation. In Perry's new Woman's World video, the pop icon wears the Womanizer Premium 2 stimulator. She donned a cute denim ensemble with her hair wrapped in red bandana after taking a swig of whiskey, and her crew stood at a row of urinals which lifted away before they danced around a shipyard. Perry stripped away the look to reveal a bedazzled red, white, and blue strappy bikini that put her bod on display. She's obviously trying to beat Rosie the Riveter.
That bitch has never seen a dockyard. Except when she was working them.
After using sex toys and jade rollers, a giant anvil came crashing down upon her. Terry then woke up in the middle of a street completely flattened before inflating herself back up.
Like a
what?
Alright, that's about funny.
That kind of funny.
I shaved off a few pounds.
She then strutted around the war-torn dystopian streets, sporting a white knit bikini with robot legs. After filling up at a gas station, Perry joined Trista Paytas for a post-apocalyptic road trip in a monster truck. The hell? Oh, she's got robot legs. What the hell? They're already starting to become robots, folks. It's just a sign of things to come.
I'll tell you, though. There's so much. I don't know. I'm starting to really think there's a lot of satanic cults in Hollywood that happen to run the entertainment industry.
Yeah, uh-huh.
When you think about it,
Oh, I know. It's been
a lot of them do it for shock value, but when you really look,
I know.
They're really just flooding the market with it and normalizing it.
Right. So we've got a giant phallus-shaped iceberg floating in Conception Bay surprises residents of Dildo, Canada. This is not a joke.
As it was written.
A phallus-shaped iceberg hovered off the coast of Dildo, Newfoundland, in Conception Bay before collapsing. It doesn't get any more apt than this. A photographer from the Newfoundland town of Dildo has captured images of a penis-shaped iceberg off the Canadian coast. The suggestive bird consists of a column with a dome head protruding up the two oval rafts of ice. Photographer Ken Perry captured a shot of the ice formation by drone near the town of Arbor Grace, which sits along, the puns keep adding up, Conception Bay. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the Dickieberg, as locals are calling it, has attracted international attention, with pretty sharing news stories from as far away as Thailand and Taiwan on his Facebook page. I knew I'd get a lot of comments, but I didn't expect this much, Pretty told the news agency Saltwire on Friday, April 28th. Alas, the iceberg lacked staying power. Pretty photographed the 30-foot phallic structure on Thursday, April the 27th. It collapsed the next day. According to the CBC, it's a strong iceberg season in Newfoundland and Labrador, with more than 200 off the coast of the two provinces. Onshore winds brought in both the pack ice and the birds, Diane Davis, who runs an FB group for iceberg hunters, told the CBC. If the trend holds up, we should see them for May and June, too. Mother Nature only gave us a handful last year.
A handful of dildo icebergs?
Mother Nature has provided more than a handful of phallic shapes to giggle about. In 2021, a man went viral for his photographs of a penis-shaped rock tower in Arches National Park, and Cambodian authorities have had to beg people to stop picking the carnivorous plant Nepenthes bulgarensis, which just so happens to look like a penis. And don't even ask about California's plague of penis fish, which washed ashore on Drake's Beach in 2019. They were actually marine worms, which have a long and storied history of looking phallic. Well, interesting. Giant ice penis floats in the middle of the ocean.
It'll never keep you warm at night.
No, don't think it will.
No, quite not cold. Like a frozen vagina wheel.
Okay.
Sit and spin, bitch.
What do we got here? Roz Switzer. I'm a 52-year-old divorcee and assumed I'd be dating boring old men. But hot guys in their 20s can't get enough of me. She's already breaking Grimm's rules. Remember my rule, 20 if you're over 30, 21 and up. Here's what I've learned about being a MILF. Yeah.
Tell girls to do whatever they feel like.
When Roz Switzer got divorced in her 40s, she thought she would be struck with a small pool of romantic rejects and appropriately aged but boring men. She was wrong. Now 52, the single mom has revealed hot men in their 20s line up to date her. The Australian television personality told Female it doesn't take long for the MILF hunters to come calling, and they're just as brazen in bars and coffee shops as they are online. They see MILFs as real women who can look them in the eye, hold a conversation without playing with their phones, and who know exactly what they want in bed, she said. Roz has run into a few MILF hunters in the 8 years since her divorce and revealed exactly how to spot one in the wild. They're the overly confident ones, the ones who are not shy and staring and winking at you from across the bar, she said. They tend to hang in packs, but they're the first to approach and tell you how beautiful you are and ask if they can buy you a drink for your 25th birthday. Roz added they are happy to make all the first moves and will often get the ball rolling. They'll make you laugh, they'll flatter you with compliments, and stifle you with their attention. They will ask, have you ever been with a younger guy, she said. And they're just about as obvious online. They're the ones who have put their age as 40s on their profile, but in their comments they let you know they're in their 20s, she said. Roz said she spoke to one recently who had changed his age from 24 to 42 on a popular dating app. She called him Harry to protect his privacy, but shared his profile and their first conversation. His bio says, the cougar hunter is back, followed by a prompt of the good old opening chat line we call Two Truths and a Lie, she said. The two truths and a lie read, I'm 42, I've played basketball with Ja Rule, and I love to surf. He added, I'll let you figure out which one is the lie, but I think the answer is pretty straightforward. Harry's true age appeared under a photo on his profile, which Roz said excluded confidence. Which Roz said exuded confidence. She said,
if he's anything over 5'5", he probably whooped Ja Rule's ass.
She said, despite lying about his age, the young man's tall stature and good looks got him over the line. He wore a suit quite well, everything we hope for in a guy, but just the wrong age bracket. For research, Roz sent him a message asking what he likes about older women. Just love the enthusiasm and excitement from an older woman. Girls my age are so self-absorbed and hard to talk to, he wrote back. The moment he wanted to correct his grammar, Roz laughed. Another man called Dale is 27, but has put his age up to 49 online. He wrote, I'm 27, but an older woman is just my thing, so let's see what happens here. She said his open crotch selfies and gym photos weren't her thing, but did make him stand out. Really now? They're the good-looking ones in the pile of swipe-left continuum on the dating apps, and they break up the drudgery, she said. The catch, of course, is that most of the younger men have short-term romances in mind. There's no expectation of anything more other than maybe a drunken you-up message at 2 a.m. if you meet weeks from time to time or the other to do it again, she said. Roz refused to confirm if she'd ever taken one of the young men up on their amorous offer.
She just answered that when she says...
She did.
Hits them up again.
She did admit that she once shunned cougars, but has softened to the dating phenomenon since becoming the target of dozens of MILF hunters over the years.
Yeah. I mean, she's good looking. Definitely, when you get in your 50s, you have to put a lot more effort. I mean, she's older.
She's not looking as good, but hey, you know, for 52, not bad.
That's not bad for 52.
No.
What? I mean, she looked like a woman.
Yeah, got no problem with her.
Now, when she starts looking like an 80-year-old woman, then you got to draw a line. And that, I think, really, the younger guys are looking short-term on that. They're thinking, well, what, 10, 20, maybe 30 years down the road?
We'll talk.
Then she's not going to feel like...
We'll talk comics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... Batman's new nickname replaces Dark Knight as the perfect description for Bruce Wayne. And hint, it doesn't.
Whiny bitch? Nope.
There are tons of different ways people referred to a Batman over the years, from the Dark Knight to the Caped Crusader. But one low-level criminal has just given Batman a title that perfectly sums up what he is. While everyone else may consider Batman to be the Dark Knight, one criminal knows he's more of a nice guy monster. In a scene from Batman 150 by Chip Zdarsky and Dennis Cohen, readers are given the perfect new title for Batman. During a discussion about Batman's secret identity, one criminal refers to the Dark Knight as a nice guy monster. While everyone else views Batman as some terrifying monster, this woman knows that Batman isn't nearly as scary as he tries to be. He's a nice guy monster? That's my experience anyway. Guy's fucking weak. If he shows tomorrow, we'll just take him out. What, tomorrow? What's happening tomorrow? Bank job, quick in and out. Man, they're still robbing the fucking bank all these years. All we need from you is to just show your beautiful face.
No,
it'll be easy.
Crime.
Look, our old bosses are egomaniacs. All they ever cared about was something, showing the world how fucking smart they were. We're targeted. Boom. Get what's ours. Run. I mean, for a guy that does comics, I sound like shit right now. But I'm doing an article, so it's not going to be a comic presentation. You got that yesterday.
Nice.
One man knows Batman's secret identity is trying to sell the information, but he's absolutely terrified of retribution from Batman, especially given the possibility that Batman might kill him. While Batman certainly gives off a terrifying aura to make people think they're truly in danger, the low-level criminal Bill knows that Batman really isn't that scary and would never hurt someone that badly. I don't think the nice guy monster will stick. I think that sounds really fucking corny.
It
and stupid.
It's not catchy.
No.
Dark Knight is catchy.
Caped Crusader is catchy.
Caped Crusader, but it is a little worn out. It makes you think of Adam West Batman more.
Western.
And that was corny.
Western Western Insider. Blah. Try that one again. Western Industry Insider warns anime content bubble is probably going to burst soon, says merch sales have fallen off a cliff. In the opinion of one noted veteran of the Western anime industry, the booming anime content bubble seen in recent years is unfortunately very much on the verge of popping. The troubling warning regarding the industry's supposedly impending future was first levied to the public courtesy of Anime News Network and Media OCD, a disc production company best known for their work on Discotech's various releases, founder Justin Savakis. Okay, so, taking to his personal Twitter account on July the 7th, Savakis asserted, "I still have two meetings to go this AX, Anime Expo, but so far my takeaways are one. The anime content bubble is probably gonna burst soon. There's way too many shows, and nobody can handle it, not the fans, nor the industry. Two, anime merch sales have fallen off a cliff, especially figures. I've seen that. Figures are just not being bought like they used to."
Well, you gotta think, too, our fucking economy is in the
true.
Shit. People can't afford what they used
That's
to.
True.
Now it's down to necessities.
"Everyone's kind of neutral, face emoji," he asked. He added, the emoji meant to communicate that his peers are currently feeling tense and uneasy towards the whole situation. Pressed by a fellow anime fan as to whether or not we're heading towards another 2007, a reference to the infamous anime crash that resulted from the 2008 global financial crisis and led to a drastic dip in both the number of series produced in Japan and the amount licensed in the West, Savakis further opined, "This looks very different, although both were heavily caused by macroeconomic conditions, to be honest." As to just which specific macroeconomic conditions were causing the industry's current predicament, which when later asked by another user as to just why merch sales were dying, Savakis would reveal, "High inflation and less time spent at home post-COVID."
Yeah.
Finally, pressed as to just what the bursting of the anime bubble would entail, Savakis speculated, "Probably having the number of new shows each season, which is still 50, we might not even notice." Though dire, Savakis' prediction is not entirely out of left field, especially in light of the very real fact that there are currently far more series being produced than most audiences could ever hope to watch. For example, in the summer 2024 season, there are a total of 51 proper series currently airing, with a total of 45 of them being brand new. Looking ahead, the calendar doesn't get any lighter, as 50 anime are currently scheduled to premiere in fall. Suffice to say, with so many series vying for a limited amount of audience attention, only a handful at best will even have a hope of becoming a financial or reputational success. Ultimately, whether or not Savakis is actually onto something will only be proven with time. Let's just hope that, should the anime industry actually crash, it'll have little to no effect on the recent tokusatsu boom, at the very least, not before the West gets a proper Blu-ray release of Kamen Rider Kabuto. You can just watch it on fucking Internet Archive, dude.
What?
Uh-huh. Let me do my magic here. Let's see. Oh, look. Look at this. Ta-da! Kamen Rider Kabuto complete.
Huh.
All 51 episodes. And you can just download them.
Let's get that.
I've already given it to you. I've already got it. It says, so after watching the whole lineup, I noticed there's two sets. I want to get a specific fan some. 93 gigabytes. It just depends. Because, you know, you also have the dub. And there's your dub version.
Yeah.
So there you go. Tell you something I don't know. There's more.
More?
Yeah, there's three versions of Kamen Rider. Four versions of Kamen Rider. There's some more Kamen Rider comics. This only has 9. But there you go. English dub 1 to 10. Look how many. 31 to 40, 11 to 20. It's everywhere. If you can't find Tokusatsu on Internet Archive, I don't know what to tell you. It's there, and you can download it and watch it, as I have done. Well, I haven't watched it, but I downloaded it.
Ooh. I'll tell you, I'm so ready for I believe it's the 26th? Deadpool Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already been spoiled on a lot of that, but I won't spoil it for you.
Okay.
Yeah. You will be impressed.
Oh, I know.
Only thing I can say that wouldn't be a spoiler is it's as big as Endgame, but it's just Deadpool's version. It's literally Deadpool's version of Avengers Endgame Infinity War. So if you remember how big that was, that's what you're looking for.
No.
That's, it's just going to be, imagine if it was funny, and it was vulgar, and it was R-rated.
And gory.
And gory. That's literally what you're looking at. Oh, and one thing, I don't think this would be too much of a spoiler, but everything you saw in the trailer is just the first 40 minutes of the film.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 hours.
Let's see how long it is. How long is it?
It is a long one. I like the long ones.
Deadpool 3 runtime. I'll see.
Of course, they say it's not Deadpool.
127 minutes.
So it's two hours and seven minutes.
So you're only being spoiled on 40 minutes of the film. That leaves you with a whole hour and 20 minutes that you don't even know what the hell's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I already know.
Well,
and it's going to
caught up on Loki.
It's going to fucking blow your mind.
Because, of course, Loki had that, you know, you'd have to understand the TSA and time, whatever.
Yeah, your eyes is going to fucking light up when you see it. You're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
I know it is.
It's going to be great.
Watch it so much.
Because I didn't even realize. Like, I knew it was going to be big, but I didn't know how big.
I knew it was going to be huge.
Oh, man. This is the Marvel event right here.
This is the only thing that can save Disney at this point.
This is the R-rated Marvel, and I can't believe it. I don't know how the hell they're going to keep kids out. Because as soon as people find out what's in this movie, kids are going to want to see it. And it's really going to be hard because, again, when you find out what's in this fucking movie.
Well, it just depends on what the parents allow. Because
it's going to be vulgar as hell.
I'll tell you the funniest time I went to the movie. Maybe not the funniest time I went to the movies, because there's plenty of movies funnier than this moment. Was when Bad Santa came out. Me and my buddy went to see it. Every parent brought their kid.
Yeah.
Like, it said rated R.
Yeah.
What about that would you think would be kid friendly? And it wasn't even, I want to say 4 to 5 minutes.
It was...
Like, it went from a packed theater to me and my buddy were literally the only people in the theater. Because everyone had to leave with the kid.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean,
I think he said fuck.
There
like,
might be a few kids that hop. I don't know. I mean, we're going to see it, so we'll obviously check it out.
If I can find it at IMAX, want to go see it. I watched the first Deadpool at IMAX, and it was amazing.
So yeah, if we go see an IMAX, let me know. We'll have to eat before we go or after.
What? Yeah, it's like, probably like $20. See, IMAX thing. It's worth it.
If it's gonna be that good.
I think it was the 3D when I saw the.
Because we've seen some in IMAX. I believe I remember. I can't remember what the hell I watched in IMAX though.
Oh, I've seen. You know, used to growing up, all we'd see is educational stuff when we'd go on school trips. So like, this is cool and all, but it doesn't show you anything you want to see.
Right
now, you see everything.
Right.
Like, oh, you can imagine Ant-Man's head. The fucking size of the fucking football field.
All right. So let's do this final article, I guess. Well, we might have another two. I want to end a toxic friendship, but she asked me to be her bridesmaid. Metro's agony aunt M. Clarkson's here to solve all your problems. This week she's handing down sage guidance on how to navigate massive pay disparities relationships. Damn. Okay. I have fallen out with a friend who I have been friends with since university. I was supposed to be a bridesmaid for her next year, and I want to help on how to move on from this friendship as it's become toxic. I don't really care. I lost a sex toy on the first date, and I couldn't believe where. I'm abrosexual? I'm abrosexual. I feel like a lesbian, and other days I feel like bisexuality.
Well,
dude, that just means that you're a fucking woman and you want dick sometimes.
Yeah, well.
Or more often.
AKA, you're just a woman.
I lost virginity to my friend's dad, and now he wants nothing to do with me.
You what?
Okay. What is... I lost my virginity to my friend's dad, and now he wants nothing to do with me.
Oh, he must have been a bad lay.
Age gap relationships. Okay, hold on. I've been involved with a much older man for the past 11 months, but now I think he's trying to get rid of me. I've known him most of my life as he's a friend's dad, but our relationship has only become romantic since I left school last year. He's always wanted to keep our affair secret, but I feel ready now to be open about it. And it's this that seems to have caused the rift. He's saying we can't get too involved as there's 20 years between us, but I'm already involved, so it's a bit late for that. His view is that people would be judgmental if I were open, but he's divorced, so we're not doing anything wrong. I think people should mind their own businesses. We're both adults, and I love him.
What about your... I bet your friend isn't your friend no more.
That's what she said. I was a virgin until I had sex with him, so what we have together is very special to me. He's taught me so much, not just about sex, but about life in general, and boys of my own age seem like silly little children in comparison. My friend lives with her mom, so knows nothing of this, and although it might be a shock at first, I'm sure she'd get used to the idea. Oh, she doesn't know. My own parents are together and happy, so I'm not looking for a father figure or anything like that.
It would go great. You know, I guarantee you, if I found out my friend was dating my mom, I'd beat the living fuck out of him. But, you know, I have none of that to worry about.
This man is your first... Anyway, she says, this man is your first serious love, so no wonder why you feel so intensely about him.
I would say you're just into older guys. Try a different older guy.
But he doesn't seem to feel that way, and that's the problem. I fear your youthful innocence has led you to fall for a guy who isn't going to make you happy. No doubt he has the charm and confidence of an older man, and perhaps your sexual experience has been wonderful, but dare I say something feels a bit creepy about him. Lots of little girls grow into beautiful women, but surely most men would be responsible enough to steer clear of their daughter's friends when they're barely out of high school.
Yep.
Attracting a gorgeous young woman might have been an ego trip for him, but now the novelty's worn off, it sounds like he's trying to ease his way out of the relationship.
Well, he's thinking about... long term, he probably knows her parents. How does that get, like... I know a guy that's older than me. Probably, he's younger than my parents, but my mom remembers growing up with them around. He was the younger brother, and his older brother was in her grade. And so, anyway, I worked for him too. And so I'd go over and he'd be hooking up with younger women, but there's one that was hooking up with him, or wanted to hook up with him, and he kept saying no. Well, he knew her parents, and like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go over to your dad's house, mm-hmm. and if he says he's okay with me railing you, I'll take you on.
Right.
And of course, that pretty much stopped the conversation because she knew how that was going to turn out.
Okay, well, last article.
Dad would be wanting to kill somebody.
I lost a sex toy inside of me on a first date. Sunday mornings don't typically start with me lying on my back, legs wide open with a finger in my backside. Well, specifically not in a hospital bed with a finger belonging to a nurse. But after a first date fail, that's how I was spending it. Sunday morning, laying in a hospital bed with an anal plug lost inside of me.
Just it like all a woman always started stuff.
When I was chatting to a guy on social media. We had great conversations. He asked to take me out on a date. It turned out that we got along even better in person. He came back to my place afterwards, and we had sex. The sex and our chemistry was great, and we were really comfortable with each other. Might I add, comfortable enough to even add some extra fun with an anal plug. I've used anal plugs before when filming content for my subscribers on my OnlyFans page, so I know how they're supposed to look. But while we were having sex, I had a sudden feeling of the plug coming out. We stopped and I said, wait, it came out, but the anal plug couldn't be found. We started searching for it through the bed sheets, under pillows, oddly enough, even under the bed. We looked at each other laughing and said, it can't be. I took myself to the bathroom, inserting a finger to try to feel it, but I just couldn't. Then inserted a finger through my vagina, pressing against my vaginal wall, and there it was. My date suggested I squat in the shower with a finger inserted to try and push the plug and direct it downwards and grab onto it, but this was unsuccessful.
in my the date, smell, he said, I gotta go home early.
Then attempted to retrieve the plug himself. He was able to hook his finger around the flared base, but had no success in being able to get it out. We couldn't believe it. We didn't expect to get to know each other this well.
It'll
not
be
at all squeamish.
Before he gets to eat Cheetos with that hand.
About the events that were unfolding, my date was far more concerned about making sure I was okay. We both couldn't stop laughing about how wild this first date was playing out. Giving up, I called my best friend, who's a nurse, to ask for advice. She laughed hysterically before offering some solutions, which included taking laxatives and trying to pass it myself.
Well, you send a back alley abortion, get a coat hanger.
Myself to the emergency room. I was horrified at the thought of taking laxatives and not being able to pass it, ending up in not one, but two very unideal situations. So off we headed to the hospital. In an attempt to manually remove it, a nurse used one finger to try and hook onto the base of the plug. This was quite the uncomfortable feeling. The nurse was kind and patient, encouraging me to breathe and try to relax. Easier said than done. After numerous attempts failed, another nurse tried again. No luck. With no other options, a surgeon advised that I'd need to be able to put under, anesthetic and undergo surgery to remove the plug. I wasn't concerned nor scared by this information, as it appeared as though I wasn't going to be a straightforward procedure and I'd be home in a few hours. It wasn't until a separate conversation with a surgeon where he explained the risks that I started to worry. The surgeon advised that if I weren't able to remove the plug using forceps, they would be required to make an incision through my stomach and colon to remove it. If this happened, it would result in a longer and more intense recovery. The worst part was that they wouldn't know if this would be required until I was in the surgery. Real fear now started to dawn on me for the first time during this entire ordeal. My date was still kindly by my side at the hospital, supporting me through it all.
I wonder if she called her parent.
I was moved to acute surgical unit and dressed in surgical garments, ready to be whisked away at any second. However, due to how busy the hospital was, I had to wait for surgery for 2 days. I worked on my laptop, watched movies, and slept, trying to pass the time. I wasn't allowed to eat or drink, as I could be taken to surgery at any moment.
Obviously, nearing nobody wants to...
the end of day two, at the unknown of how long I was going to be there, it started to become overwhelming. I was hungry, bored, and wanted it over and done with. On top of that all, I was feeling a little scared about what I was going to wake up to.
I tried to give up on butt plugs, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I tried to remain calm and positive. I knew I was in good hands. The surgeons assured me that they would do everything possible to make sure this was an easy procedure with minimal after effects to my body. My date only left my side to go work, and once visiting hours had ended, he wasn't allowed to stay at the hospital with me. We spoke a lot about how crazy this whole ordeal was and laughed a lot to stay positive. I've not told anyone this before, but while the curtains were closed, giving my hospital room privacy, I actually gave him a blowjob to pass the time.
What? You said not to eat anything.
Nothing about this situation felt natural, but there was always some comfort in knowing we were both in this together. Finally, after 2 days of waiting, I was taken in for surgery. Again, advised of the intended procedure, along with the risks, I signed a next of kin waiver and I was put to sleep. I felt like I had held it all together really well emotionally throughout this whole situation. I had come to terms with what will be, and tried not to freak myself out too much. It was all I could do, and there was no point getting myself worked up about the unknown or the outcome. I just had to accept what it was to come and get through it. I woke up in recovery 10 minutes later, relieved to see no incisions to my stomach. The procedure went exactly as we all planned and hoped. I was told that due to being under anesthetic, all my muscles were completely relaxed and they were able to use a small part of forceps and remove the plug with ease. 2 hours later, I was discharged to go home. My recovery was easy with no pain or discomfort. Once the anesthetic wore off, I felt like it never happened. Just the memory of wild first dates, some photos and videos of some behind-the-scenes footage of my time in hospital, documenting what I was feeling, each step of the process along the way, and what I was doing to pass the time to look back and laugh about. Damn.
That's crazy.
My date and I remain in contact for days afterwards, but we've since parted ways.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful he was such a gentleman throughout the whole process and didn't just leave me to deal with my own. It was a comforting situation to deal with at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But realistically, we weren't right for each other. He wasn't comfortable with some of the things I did for work and wasn't prepared to make so many sacrifices
only
to my business. At such an early stage of meeting someone. I took a few months off using an anal plug again, but have since used them again to film content for my OnlyFans.
Bet you tied a rope around the end.
I bet she did. I was terrified at first and must admit I still am. I made sure I was in a position where I could always see the plug on the camera in front of me, and it was only being used for the minimal amount of time needed.
Boy, that's a little darker tinted now.
I knew these were extremely uncomfortable circumstances, but it's opened my eyes that it can happen, so I want to be very careful using them in the future. I don't think I'll ever feel completely comfortable using one again, but the show must go on. I thought, like most people who have ever used one, this will never happen to me. Thought it was an impossible horror story, but guess what? It can!
This could never happen to me. The fucking ridiculousness of this fucking story. Like, I don't know if you remember training videos for work. I kind of had something like that at Walmart.
My surgeon... Let me finish. My surgeon explained that because the plug's flared base was a heart shape and a much more narrow edge, it can occur extremely easy. Due to the way the body works, it will literally suck up like a vacuum, advising to consciously select the shape of the base when experimenting with anal plugs. Yes. I only use round base plugs now as an added precaution to avoid this happening again. But the only real way I can warn others to avoid the situation is not use them at all. This can happen to anyone at any time, so if you're using them, there's no way to be 100% safe from this happening. But I warn others to be mindful of the shapes they're using and highlight with first-hand experience that this is a risk we all need to be aware of. I'm not sure this is one to tell the grandkids, but I think it'd be hard for anyone to top this as their funniest first date. And I can certainly say no other first date for me could come close to being as memorable as this one was. Now, this I find interesting. I'm teaching my kids financial trading so they'll never have to work a day in their lives. Now, some of you guys work in finance, and I'm aware of that. So, what do you think about this? All right, hold on. Opening up about her homeschooling journey, one mom has revealed that she's using her time to teach her children how to trade so that they're ready to hit the markets when they're 18. Amanda Custer, 38, started educating herself on the details of trading 4 years ago to help bring in more passive income for the family, and she's decided to pass on what she's learned to her offspring. Now Amanda dedicates 15 minutes each day to her own trading journey and lets her children choose their own schedule for the rest of the day, spending only 2 hours a day on schoolwork. Amanda isn't strict on imposing a daily routine for her three girls, Adeline, 12, Lucille, 10, and a 9-year-old Aniston, and she wants to set them up for the future freedom in equipping them with financial skills. During the week in between dance, sports, and enrichment classes...
Mama didn't teach us how to add them fancy books.
He have complete control over when they complete their lessons, Amanda, who lives in California, told Absolutely Business, noting that her daughters would never have to work a day in their lives if they don't want to. After the girls have completed their 2 allocated hours of homeschooling, they have complete freedom to choose activities, which can encompass anything from beach days to riding bikes. My husband and I are both entrepreneurs, so we have full control over our schedules, Amanda, who now teaches others how to trade through her company, Forex for Women, adds. I usually am up by 6. My girls wake up around 8 and spend their mornings slow with breakfast or playing outside. Most of the day is filled with activities with other homeschooling friends, whether it's a trip to the pool, beach, museum, or meet up at the park. When it comes to managing her own trading schedule, Amanda now spends under 15 minutes each day managing her positions from her phone. And when she first decided to enter the industry, she immediately decided that she wanted to create a system that made trading passive so that she could be a fully present mom. My children are not live trading in the markets because they're not 18, so for now I'm teaching them how to read the charts and understand what is happening, how I enter into trade opportunities, and more, Amanda details. In fact, the girls' knowledge is so advanced that they fully understand how to read the market and get themselves into successful positions using their demo broker accounts. I teach them that our goal isn't to predict what is going to happen next in the market. It is something to take advantage of what is currently happening, she adds. The family's freedom approach to homeschooling stems from the loss of their fourth daughter, Carson, who sadly died in 2015 at the age of 5. Because of her disability, she spent much of her life in and out of the hospital, which made it near impossible for my husband and I to have regular jobs, Amanda shares. We quickly realized that regular society with a 9-to-5 employer would not work for a family like ours, so we sought ways to provide an income for our family that gave us freedom to be with our daughters 24/7. We learn how short life is and the freedom to be together was the biggest goal and dream from our family and children's future. Now Amanda's hoping to teach her children the importance of independence, and she always tells them that their only task in life is to be happy. Whether that means they go to college and find a career, become a day trader, or entrepreneur, the choice is theirs and I'll support them, Amanda concludes. I see my day trading skills as a legacy skill that I can teach my children and pass on to future generations. Teaching her kids to be financially able is commendable, but not teaching them to never have to work for anything in their lives. There are always financial crashes that can happen. If they end up with nothing, what will the kids do then? Never have to work a day in their lives they don't want to, and won't be able to, as even if they do, as they'll have no formal education. Kids in school do not know a thing about money finance. It should be taught. As arrogant, self-taught, stay-at-home mom educating your kids, what could possibly go wrong? She should branch into the lesser-known subjects on the curriculum, breaking and entering, hot wiring, shoplifting, armed robbery, embezzlement, and of course how to become a solicitor and real estate agent. Yeah, getting a life view teachings from only one person is always a recipe for success. Continue, daydreamer. They will have to work unless they're children of a billionaire. You're so deluded.
I mean...
Yeah?
You can do okay in that. But a lot of it,
yeah.
If you remember the
GameStop scandal. It's gambling.
Well, you think about the game. It's set up for the wealthy to win against the people putting their money in on all these gambles. That's what hedge funds and shit are, betting against the market. But, you know, remember right. They lost all that money. They're not doing it right, so they made an app change its whole system of operating. They're not, now you can trade freely. Like, no, they just made them change it to their rules.
Oh, we have one final article. Elon Musk slams the Lucasfilm boss for killing Star Wars with woke propaganda.
Yep.
More deadly than the Death Star. Elon Musk blasted Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy for putting the Star Wars franchise in jeopardy by pushing woke propaganda in the latest spin-off, The Acolyte, which has drawn criticism over its lead characters being spawned by lesbian space witches as part of the storyline. She's more deadly than the Death Star, Musk wrote in response to a post on X that pictured Kennedy as a franchise killer alongside other Empire death machines.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy, who has been president of Lucasfilm since Disney bought the film and production company founded by Star Wars creator George Lucas in 2012, has defended her decision to name Leslie Headland to direct The Acolyte, which is currently streaming on Disney+. In a response to another post on X that said Kennedy hired Headland because she had struggled as a showrunner due to a male-dominated fan base, Musk wrote, "Kathleen Kennedy is super bigoted against men." The post has sought comment from Kennedy.
Well, thank you.
Look
why
at
would
it.
You give someone that hates men a franchise made for men? I mean, yeah, women like it too. But even you're ruining it for them too because they're just fucking ignorant. I mean,
so,
they're not trying to make money. They're just trying to wipe out a... Like, if Disney has any sense, they need to get rid of her. She's too big for them to get rid of or something. I don't know.
So,
but Bob Iger's not innocent in the whole thing, too. He's promised
More
family-friendly, accepting, non-woke, non-propaganda
films. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he has not come through.
He said Lucas, who launched the Fame franchise before selling his company to Disney for $4 billion, has in large part stayed away from any involvement with any of the Star Wars spinoffs. Headland, the first woman to create a TV series for the franchise, has sought to make The Acolyte more diverse by casting minority actors, including Amanda Stenberg, who identified as non-binary and gay, and Korean star Lee Jung-jae. The narrative in The Acolyte that has raised hackles... implies that powerful witches belonging to an all-female coven led by Mother Anasea, played by actress Jodie Turner-Smith, use the Force to generate female offspring that stars the twin main characters played by Amanda Stenberg. And Kennedy backed Headland, telling the New York Times, "My belief is that storytelling does not need to be representative of all people." She said that supporting Headland was an easy decision for me. Kennedy said it was terrifying to receive backlash from the male-dominated fan base, which has reacted negatively to recent Star Wars films and TV series promoting female stars, including Daisy Ridley, who played Ren in the sequel trilogy, The Force Awakens. And by the way, there's already been some information about Star Wars 10 that is going to be more of the same.
Well, then they're
gonna lose more money.
They, you I don't know why they even try to put something out when they know people don't want to see it.
I don't know. It said,
just trying to wipe out a family institution.
Right.
Like, growing up, that's all you'd ever hear about. Oh, you gotta see the new Disney movie.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, there's so many. Shoot. When I was in college, I stayed at my friend's house. Me and her loved to watch some damn Emperor's New Groove, all kinds of old
movies. Classic
one. Stitch, I always liked that one. Of course, Bambi always liked the death
scene for that one.
Like, ooh, I bet that is delicious.
Kennedy said it was terrifying to receive backlash from the male. Okay.
Didn't seem to mind when it was Indiana Jones they were threatening.
Yeah, promoting female stars including Daisy Ridley, who played Rey in the sequel trilogy. Hadlund responded to the criticism, telling the Hollywood Reporter last week that she didn't think the Acolyte was queer with a capital Q. Disney has drawn criticism in recent years for introducing woke content to appeal to a broader audience.
Just like a white woman ruining everything.
Makes sense. Hard to make something fans like when you hate your fan base. Kathleen Kennedy is super bigoted against men. Yep. Last year, South Park, the animated satire put out by cable channel Comedy Century, mocked Disney for pandering to audiences by promoting diversity in franchises including Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And one South Park episode titled Joining the Pandaverse. The show took aim at Kennedy, who was accused of ordering the producers of her franchise projects to put a chick in it and to make her lame and gay, which is what they fucking did with The Acolyte. In 2021, Disney fired actor Gina Carano, star of Star Wars spinoff series Mandalorian, after a series of social media posts, including one which compared the political climate in the U.S. to the period in Nazi Germany. Musk, the Tesla boss, has been critical of Disney, announced earlier this year that he was backing Serrano's lawsuit against the company. Serrano, the former MMA star who played Cara Dune in the spinoff, alleged she was booted from the series because she espoused conservative views. She's asking the court to order Disney's Lucasfilm unit to reinstate her in role and seeks compensatory damages of up to $75,000 plus emotional distress and punitive damages to be determined on trial. I would like to see that trial.
Yep.
Last year, Musk blasted...
I'd follow anything that she's in. She is a good-looking...
Disney CEO Bob Iger. Musk has blasted Disney CEO Bob Iger after his company halted advertisements on his X platform due to the proliferation of hate content. Go fuck yourself, Musk said when asked his reaction to brands pulling their ads from his site. Musk attempted to clarify the comment last week, saying it was not aimed at all advertisers as the social media company tried to woo back companies that have left the site. For introducing woke content to appeal to a broader audience. These things aren't done to appeal to a broader audience. They're done to appeal to a very specific audience so they can virtue signal by chastising anyone who isn't and doesn't want to be a part of said audience.
It was more of a diverse audience before they fucked it.
Right! People used to camp outside for
nerds,
Star Wars.
Jocks. I mean,
everybody.
Really, what's a nerd nowadays anyway?
Nerd is incel is just a new word for nerd. Everybody use incel, femcel. That's literally, femcels are female nerds.
Think that's your words, not mine.
No, I'm saying that's the term. People use incel now to replace, it used to be called nerd and geek, and they just use incel now. That's literally the term for geek.
I was nerdy, but
that's what they use. It doesn't matter. That's just the term. It's just they switched it.
Right or real?
Yeah, but people that were called nerds weren't actually fucking nerds. They just called them nerds.
And they say cocksuckers can't be called faggots.
I said, literally, femcel and incel are just a word for geek and nerd. They used to call, oh, you're a geek, you're a nerd.
Which aren't really offensive terms in themselves.
No, they're not they're not offensive anymore. I mean, but now anybody that's considered
nothing like the N-word for black people. Like I don't think that word can be beat. I think that's just like the word that even if you're white and someone calls you that, like an immense emotion comes behind that word, and you might not have any idea of the history of the word.
But yeah,
actually negra in Spanish is black.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I bet you hear that every once in a while from the Mexicans.
All the time. And they're pointing too, is the worst part.
Really?
No, I'm
just I was just curious.
They're well, you know where we live.
Right. Right, because that's what I was gonna say. But all right, anyway, guys. This is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys
everywhere.
We will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show with more great articles. We got so much stuff to go through. It's ridiculous. I'm behind. By the way, guys, remember my birthday coming up, so I'm gonna be gone for a while, and I'll be coming back. I don't know, a couple days. I'm going to the farm. All right, so
to the farm.
Yeah.
Going to the farm. You going to talk about the rabbits, George?
Maybe. All right. At any rate, I'm out. We'll see you guys next time.
All right.
Enjoy the decline.